Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the Postmaster.
The Postmaster. We should do that movie one time.
No, we really shouldn't.
Why not?
It's Macaulay boring. Culkin?
It's not boring. Rewatch it.
It's boring.
I command you to rewatch it.
Nothing happens in that movie for 3 hours except he calls some guy for leaking mercury. He runs into Tom Petty. He has a little battle at the end with that one actor, and that's it. Like, nothing happens the entire fucking movie.
Yeah, but this girl is like, Kevin Costner, knock me up. That's worth talking about. That's worth having a movie debate over.
Doesn't he knock a chick up in almost every movie he's in?
During the filming of Rushmore, I did get to talk to that actress.
Really?
In between takes, yeah. Olivia Williams.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I tried to get her phone number.
Nice, man.
It didn't work.
Log's like, I'm going to use my smooth moves and get into Hollywood the hard way.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the easy way. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was trying to give her the hard way into Hollywood, if you know what I mean.
Well, she was already in Hollywood, so he was trying to get himself the hard way in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's enough.
Yeah.
Those puns. Hey, give us an E for effort at least. I mean, we were trying, you know.
E for effort.
There we go.
Yeah, you know, so
I mean, participation trophy.
It's the best we can do. It's fucking hot as hell in Texas, so you know, our minds sometimes get a little melted and our jokes aren't as funny, but we try. And wearing these masks continue to play havoc with my voice, as you can tell. And that's honestly the only thing I've done different is wear a mask. So I think, because last week when I was on vacation, my voice is pretty much fine. And I go back to work and it's like, I'm all yuck again and my voice doesn't want to work, but I will make it through the show. So how are you guys doing this week?
Another week down.
Yeah, that's about it. Just another week. I start vacation coming up. I'm going to be in Galveston, but I'm going to bring my Ethernet cord with me and everything, so should still be able to hop in and record, but I can't wait.
Galveston. Exciting. I don't know. It's just one of those places.
It's like an annual thing you do, Matt?
Yeah. The kids really love the beach, and Jackie loves the beach, and so my parents rent out one of those, like, enormous beach houses. This one has an elevator and it sleeps 12.
My thing is, though, just I guess I've been out around Texas more than y'all have, or at least Matt's family has. And like, if I'm going to get away and go to a beach, I'm going to get away further than 45 minutes. I'm going to go like down to Aransas or to Corpus some nicer beaches,
Matagorda.
Nicer areas. Actually get away from Houston for a few days. You know, that's just my thing. You know, Galveston to me is just like, that's like a neighborhood. You know, that's all it is. You know, and that's
local.
Just,
yeah.
That's just what I think. If you're going to get away, you know, because you don't have to drive that much further for much nicer beaches, you know. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe one day the child's family will learn to get out of their shell a little bit.
We thought about Florida, but for some, I guess my dad just wanted to keep it local again.
Florida's a little bit far. I mean, you know,
nicer beaches.
It is nicer beaches, but like with COVID going on, I don't know if you'd want to do that right now. You know,
not with that retard governor running that
right
state the way it is.
but yeah, so that's cool. I guess, you know, Galveston.
Yeah.
You have a day, you should take the kids to the train museum. It's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. That is cool.
Let them check out
the trains. You've been there recently.
Yeah. It's kind of neat. You can walk inside the old trains and stuff, so it's kind of cool. But anywho, yeah, it's been a week back to work. It always takes about a couple of weeks to really get back in the swing after you've been off. And I've been all scheduled this week, not sleeping good because I was staying up late on vacation, you know, playing games or watching movies or whatever. And now it's like, fuck, I got to be responsible and go to bed on time so I can get up and go to work. It's like, shit. Responsibilities.
Yeah.
I feel like I look weird without my chin beard.
Oh, you did shave your chin beard. Shaven.
Yeah.
Yeah, smooth, man.
Well, Matt, you can't even grow a beard, so let's not go there, okay? You were just all excited, like, oh, man, Long looks like me now. Well, at least Long can grow a beard, dog.
Yeah, true.
And I, on the other end, need to shave. My beard is all scraggly from being on vacation. Hairs coming out everywhere, every which way. Probably could braid a few. But maybe this weekend I'll take the time to trim it up. You know, but that's groovy, man, that you guys have had a week. Yep, it's been a week and back at it. And like I said, it's just, it's the dog days of August in Texas. It's hot as fuck. And I went out during this pandemic, you know, you try and only go places if you really need to. Of everything that could break, my freaking vacuum cleaner belt breaks. And I wanted to run into Walmart today after my mom brought the kids home, hoping that just to knock it out, not to have to do it on the weekend. And do you think they had the belt size in stock? Nope.
No.
It's like, fuck, man. So now I got to go either to Target or another Walmart tomorrow and hopefully find the right size. And it's like,
well, yeah.
And I could order it on Amazon, but then it's like, I need it this weekend so I can vacuum. I don't want to have to wait a couple of days, you know?
I've got a spare vacuum.
Well, my mom has a spare vacuum too. It's just but I still need to get a belt to fix mine, you know, either way. So it's just like, if I don't find the belt size in the morning, I may be borrowing the spare vacuum. So
all good.
We'll see. So it's just one of those things that just kind of irritated me. It's like you go in there for one thing and Walmart's known as the place that has everything and they don't have the one fucking thing you need, you know, amidst the pandemic world that you're risking yourself to go out to get. And then they don't have it. It's like, so it just kind of, I don't know. I don't want to say it irritated me. It just kind of like, ugh, you know. But I guess that's life. People
wouldn't
have
a Lowe's problems. Or a Home Depot have something like that?
Maybe.
They might. Maybe Home Depot. I can't be honest with you. I haven't been in a Lowe's in 10 years. You know, because there's so many Home Depots close by. So
how about Ace?
I usually go in Home Depot. Yeah, see, that's
Ace
where I like.
Hardware has.
Or that I used to go with Sears Hardware for stuff because Sears would have it, but they all closed. So I know people have bigger problems out there people have bigger problems out there than my broke vacuum belt. But that's my blight of the week, you know. So I had to share it with people listening to the show. Not really. They're probably like, "Shut the fuck up, Mark. We don't care about your vacuum belt, but whatever. I care." So I guess then let's get into today's show officially and download this where we tell people what we watched, played, streamed, or checked out this week. And man, I'll let you guys go first because my list is not very much. It's, I don't know. I'll explain why in a minute.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go. I watched plenty this week. I watched Hard Target. It was on sale for $5, so I bought it. I also bought The Sixth Day. The Sixth Day was on sale for $5.
Had you ever seen Hard Target before?
This is the first time, and I love it. I think it's one of my favorite Jean-Claude Van Damme films.
It is one of his better films. It's not one of Wu's better films because it was his first Hollywood movie. He didn't have a whole lot of say as to what went into it, but you can see Wu's style in the movie for sure.
Yeah, it definitely. Like looked more like a Van Damme film than a Wu film, you know, just the typical Van Damme stuff, the kicks, you know,
which is strange though, because Van Damme, was really excited to work with Wu and wanted Wu to make the movie he wanted to make. But again, it's one of those things where the studio kind of was like, hey, well, we want it to look like this. And I think I told you guys on last week's show on the killer, maybe pre-show, that apparently there is like a 2-hour work print of hard target out there that's more closer to what Wu's vision was. So
that would be cool to find it. But yeah, that and the 6 Day, you know, and one of Arnold's cheesier films, The Clone, you know, has the cool line in it where he's like, you should make a clone of yourself so you can go fuck yourself. and then I bought Elvira, the Mistress of the Dark movie, because I had to show Jackie what I watched on TV as a teenager.
No, you had to show her what you jerked off to as a teenager.
Yeah. And she's like, I love Elvira, because she's, you know, the jokes on there, you know, are just very, very sexual and innuendo-y. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, I don't give a shit what you think. I'm going to dress however I want, do whatever I want. And I feel like that movie's ahead of its time, and it's definitely something we may do on the show.
He was a former Playboy model.
Yeah. Oh, I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell. And then the other movie that I watched, 310 to Yuma. That was also on sale, so I bought that and watched that as well. So those four.
Yeah, that's like one of the first DVD Blu-rays I owned, and I still haven't watched it yet.
310 to Yuma?
Yeah, I've never seen the movie yet.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, I'll go next. The biggest movie I saw this week was Bohemian Rhapsody. I finally watched it, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. There's some small historical misplacements here and there, but mm-hmm. Rami Malek definitely deserved that Oscar. Man, he really made you feel for Freddie, you know? It's like he made you feel sympathetic towards him. You could feel his loneliness, you know, and it's a fantastic movie. Great character. Loved the final act of the movie. And one of the surprise characters I ended up liking was John Deacon, the bassist, was played by Joseph Mazzello from Jurassic Park. Timmy from Jurassic Park.
He's the
bassist.
Kid.
Yeah,
that's funny.
And he had the funniest sarcastic dry reactions ever in that movie, you know. And mm-hmm. one of my favorite parts of the movie was when he started playing that famous bass line from Another One Bites the Dust, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And great movie all around. And then right after that, I watched a documentary film about David Bowie's last 5 years of his life, and it's a great insight about David Bowie basically burning both candles at the end, trying to, you know, treat his cancer while at the same time creating his last album, and then trying to create a musical based on his works. And man, it's a great film.
I've heard of it. That's very good.
Yeah, gives you a pretty good insight into Bowie's personality and his thoughts and feelings about, you know, celebrity culture and stuff like that. But anyways, but that's my download this. So, I started playing a little bit of Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Beautiful game, but man, so many loading screens. Ugh.
Yes. Well, that's Assassin's Creed games are notorious for that. Yes.
Yeah.
I have one of them, and yeah, it loads. You have Matt. Have you seen Bohemian Rhapsody yet?
I have not. I am the odd man out.
It's on HBO Max. You need to watch it. It's cool on the Blu-ray special features. You can actually watch they filmed the entire Live Aid sequence like in real life, and you can watch it on the bonus features. And of course, they cut it down for the film, but you can actually watch the whole reenactment of the Live Aid scene on the DVD on the Blu-ray.
Oh, wow, for real.
Yeah, but it's a really good movie. I liked it a lot. I haven't watched a whole lot this week. I don't know. I mean, I've taken a little break from kind of watching too much TV, I guess, and I've been playing Star Wars Galaxies a lot. And I did watch a couple more episodes of The Last Dance. Man, it's getting to those parts that I remember. Like, I remember well, because I was in high school when it was happening. Just the extreme popularity of Jordan shoes and Michael Jordan's image and things like that, and how big he became, where he was probably the biggest celebrity star in the world at about a 2 or 3 year period there from 92 to about 95, where everyone in the world knew who Michael Jordan was. And so I'm about halfway through it, so I probably will have it finished hopefully by next week. I know I'm a little bit slow. I'm a slow burner when it comes to shows, but I just that's just how I am. I take my time with them. I have to really be like, I am into it, but I have to like really hardcore be into something to truly binge it over 3 or 4 days. You know, like I did with most of the season of Daredevil. I think all those I watched within, you know, a few days. So it just has to be something I'm really into. That's really about all I watched this week. So that's why I said my download this was kind of weak sauce, you know. I just haven't watched much. I just kind of let kids watch TV. But I'm enjoying playing the emulator of Star Wars Galaxy quite a bit. That's a game that I really liked back in the 2000s. And living and playing in the Star Wars universe, so I'm glad I found the emulator. And I've been spent a bit of time on that after work and stuff, playing it until I make dinner for the kids and things like that. And I kind of put a movie on for them or whatever, let them play. And I've been playing Galaxies and enjoying my time on that universe I used to play in. So it's kind of fun. It's cool to be a Jedi, man. You know, you can do Jedi shit without actually having to do Jedi shit. You just play a game. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
But it's fine.
Well, that's our download this.
Yep. So I will try to watch more stuff before next week, so I'm more interested in my download this. So let's get into today's featured film. A fairly popular cult classic film that was written by Quentin Tarantino and directed by the late Tony Scott. A film that Quentin really wanted to direct himself, but he just didn't have time to do with working on Pulp Fiction. So he ended up selling the script, but yet he kept producer rights and had a say as to who was going to direct it and even who was going to star in it. He even had a say in some of the casting. And that is True Romance from 1994, right? Yeah. It came out the same year as Pulp Fiction. And so you guys had never seen this film before, which I was a little surprised that one of you had not seen it, because it's definitely made the rounds around a cult classic circles, and it's considered part of Tarantino's universe of movies. Even though they're a loosely tied universe, it is considered part of that. And I saw this movie probably late 90s, shortly after it came out, and I remember liking it then, and I still like it. I think it holds up well. And I'm gonna let Long summarize this.
No, you summarize it, fool.
Hell no, man.
I summarized last week. Me or Matt summarized.
I summarized last week.
So, no, you didn't. So the movie is about this kind of a loner guy that loves movies. His name's Clarence, and he loves kung fu movies and just movies in general. He knows a lot about movies, and his boss,
Quentin Tarantino.
Quentin says this is his most autobiographical movie he's made. So yeah.
His boss buys him a call girl. Played by Patricia Arquette. Her name's Alabama, and she runs into him, quote unquote, in the theater on purpose.
A stupid name for a girl, by the way.
Yeah, they do it, and they fall in love, and they elope. And she tells him about this guy named Drexel that would beat the crap out of her, and that was basically her boss boyfriend. So he's like, "I'm gonna go up there, and I'm gonna shoot him for you, honey. That's what I'm gonna do to prove myself." Yeah, her pimp. And so he's like, "I'm going to pimp slap him with this 357 Magnum in the teeth." So he goes up there, and it's white boy day. So he shoots Gary Oldman in the dick and then kills everybody else, leaves his ID in Gary Oldman's hand, and then runs off with a bunch of their drugs. So that
on accident.
Yeah, on accident. Yeah. So that him and Alabama can sell it. He has this idea that
they can sell it. He comes up with a plan to sell it. Yeah.
And you know, they run into their dad. His dad's played by Dennis Hopper, and then he, I guess, decides that he can kiss Patricia Arquette right on the mouth. And it's
that gives the whole fucking plot of the movie.
And so basically, these guys that work with Drexel follow them to California, where they're trying to sell this stuff, and all hell.
Oh, Drexel works for gangsters and mobsters. Yeah.
Yeah. The the Sicilians. I know there's another gang. There's a different name for their gang, but there's Sicilian apparently. And they find them, and there's this awesome climax at the end,
along with the police on their tail too. Yeah.
Yeah, with Belushi. Belushi's in there.
Belushi. Chris Penn. Chris Penn and Tom Sizemore.
No. Yeah.
I guess I'm thinking of Chris Penn. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's basically it. That's the premise of the movie. I did give away a little bit, but you know, that's the premise of the movie. There is some tangents that go on in between there that we'll talk about.
So this movie is pretty bonkers, as described in Matt's plot synopsis. For guys that never seen this before, I can sense some hatred coming from Long on this film already. But so first impressions.
Overrated. That's my first reaction.
I think it's solid. I think this movie.
I don't really hate it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was okay. You know, I didn't really pay attention to the movie except for the one scene between Dennis Hopper and Christopher Walken, because I don't remember those two ever being in the movie together. Ever.
Yeah, I think they had appeared in a movie together, but they didn't share a scene in the other movie, is what I read. Yeah.
This movie feels like a Tarantino movie, and then it doesn't feel like a Tarantino movie. So I feel like Tony Scott is like the second best director who would have been able to handle this movie. And
the beautifully shot movie.
Yeah.
The beautifully shot movie.
But I think this movie could have been so much better had Tarantino had the time to actually shoot it.
Yeah.
But I think it's solid. I was entertained. I wish I would have bought it, because I think I may have been, you know, prompt to watch it again. But
it's a thoroughly entertaining film. Yeah. I mean, there's so much going on in it. There's so much craziness from the beginning all the way to the end. It's hard. It's a lot of good actors in the movie. You know, I mean, you got Gary Oldman there. You have Samuel L. Jackson makes a cameo. Val Kilmer plays his mentor. You got Christopher Walken, Dennis Hopper, James Gandolfini, Brad Pitt in a small role, which almost all of Brad Pitt's lines are improvised in the movie, as he plays the stoner roommate of Michael Rapaport's character. And man, Michael Rapaport's great in this movie too. You know, it's like he was never known as like an A-list actor, but he's solid in this movie. Like, he really tries hard to bring in a really, I think he knew he was acting with a bunch of good people, so he's really good in this movie.
Yeah.
I've always
thought his voice was annoying.
Yeah.
The way he delivers his
voice. But he works in this film for some reason, I think. I think it's just the cast of characters that make this movie come together. And it definitely, out of all the Tarantino scripted films, you're right, this has the closest feel to a Tarantino movie. In fact, they had written a almost 500-page script that they broke into two movies, and one was True Romance and the other was Natural Born Killers. And the whole idea, there was even at one point where Clarence dies at the end of this movie and Alabama joins up with Mr. White and they go on a killing spree. And that's why in Reservoir Dogs, Mr. White mentions Alabama. But Natural Born Killers turned into a completely different movie with, obviously, with Woody Harrelson and Julia Lewis, and not a very good. I'm not a big fan of Natural Born Killers. I think it's too fucked up and weird. But I could see how, if they had split the scripts up, how that might have worked, where Alabama became the serial killer after this movie. But I guess the studio didn't like that idea of killing Clarence off. They wanted a happier ending after all the violence and stuff, so they went ahead and let Clarence live in the movie. He does get shot in the eye, of course, but he ultimately lives at the end. And the climax, like you said, is pretty crazy in this movie. There's so much going on. A lot of ad-libbing in that too. Like when Chris Penn's character and Tom Sizemore, and they interrogate the guy from the sitcom. It's all ad-libbed, which is great. You know, and I think sometimes actors do some of their best work with their ad-libbing lines, and they're into the roles. and they're into the movie itself, so they can make it funnier and better. And it's like, and I don't know, this movie, I just really like this film. I guess it came out the right time for me when I first saw it, and I think it still holds up well. The walk-in Dennis Hopper scene is fantastic. I mean, it's
I'll agree to that.
Two of your best actors ever, squaring toe-to-toe, delivering their lines. And Walkman's legitimately, like, scary, too. Like, you just know there's a point maybe 30 seconds in that conversation that you know that Cliff Worley's not going to make it. You just know Hopper's gone, you know. But yet you sit there and you watch it with this intensity as these two guys have this conversation.
No, that's fair. And it's like you know that he's going to die no matter what he tells him, whether he tells him that his son took off and where he went, or he tells him, I honestly don't know. They just asked for some money and they left.
Yeah, and Tarantino based that on a real conversation he had with a black friend of his that told him that story about Sicilians. And we're not going to repeat the whole thing here because it's quite vulgar and but it's delivered in a way that, as I was watching, I was thinking about the current movements that are going on in the nation and Black Lives Matters and all that. But there, I can't think of any two actors that could have ever delivered those lines and told those story that are white and got away with that on screen, where it came out kind of darkly funny, but also like, that's kind of fucked up, you know.
I bet De Niro and Pacino could have done it.
Well, yeah, it would have been like our classic guys. There's no modern guys that could do that. And De Niro was almost in this movie. In one version of the script, we actually saw the gangster's leader, Blue something, and it was going to be De Niro that was going to play that role, but then they ended up cutting it off from the script. So he almost ended up in this film, which would have been interesting. He would have had three of our great actors all in one movie. So overrated, how long? Maybe it's because you saw it years after. Because, you know, there was a movement back in the 90s where you had a lot of movies like this that were just these kind of action movies. And maybe it's been there, seen that kind of thing, you know, for you. So it it's nothing probably new.
It definitely did. Still doing, the movie still pretty, has its own voice compared to today's movies. I'll give it that because, it was part of that whole edgy dramedy slash action type genre.
Right.
The crime genre. Like, what was it? It was Pulp Fiction, and there was that other movie that came out. What was that one with Charlize Theron and James Spader?
I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of it. Then you had Smoking Aces, and you had all these copycat movies from that kind of genre.
But
the Guy Ritchie films.
I can appreciate it for that, but I'm not a big Christian Slater fan, as y'all have seen in my text.
I started thinking about that though when you mentioned that, you know, like Christian Slater, but you know, I really think about, he hasn't done, like, I don't feel like I've seen him in a whole lot. In the few things I have seen him in.
Volume.
But see, like, for me, I don't know, Pump Up the Volume was all right. Well, Broken Arrow, you know, which was okay.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And then this, and then
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yeah, but Robin Hood's okay. It's not a great movie.
That was a supporting role, right?
Yeah, it was more of a supporting role. I'm thinking of things where he's a lead actor, you know, and he hasn't really done a whole lot of that. But I think he's good in this movie, though.
Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot. I've heard he's really good in that show.
Yeah.
But I think he does well in this film. You know, I think him and Patricia Arquette particularly do a really good job of this movie because you kind of buy into their relationship in a way, you know, with all the craziness that's going on. They stay true to each other throughout it. And Patricia Arquette, I think, does a really good job of this movie, especially a really tough scene she has with James Gandolfini in it, where he essentially beats the living shit out of her. But she escapes she does a good job.
Gandolfini hated filming that.
Scene. He was not a fan. It took like almost 5 days to film that just cause he was struggling with filming it.
Yeah.
And he even turned it down at first, the movie. Mm-hmm. And then, I can't remember which actor it was that talked him into coming and doing it and saying, come on, man, come do the movie. It might've been Dennis Hopper or Christopher Walken said, hey, go ahead and do it. And, then Gary Oldman, on the other hand, was jumped at the part. He didn't even read a script. And when Tony Scott talked to him on the phone, he had not even met Tony Scott in person yet. They talked on the phone and Scott was like, well, you play a white guy, he thinks he's black and you're a pimp. And Oldman's like, I'm in. He sold me already. You know, and he went straight from filming Dracula to filming this. So he had his wig maker. He came up with the idea of having his wig maker make him a wig with the dreads and all that. So he shows up on set with this dread wig and they were like, okay. So yeah, and Oldman has always been known for a guy who puts himself into his roles and makes himself appear differently in all of them. And you almost don't recognize him in the movie as Drexel.
Yeah, but, he's almost unrecognizable.
But he's got some of the most memorable lines in the movie, like, you know, I know I'm pretty, but I ain't as pretty as a pair of titties.
Yeah.
Is this white boy day? No, it's not white boy day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing about this movie. It's like all the guys that make the cameos in the movie, whether it's Gary Oldman, Samuel L. Jackson has some pretty funny lines in his little cameo. Of course, we talked about the Hopper Walken scenes. Brad Pitt, they're all really memorable cameos. Like every one of them.
He tells Gary Oldman when he first walks in, I eat the butt.
I eat every motherfucking day.
I was watching it with Jackie, and Jackie's like, huh?
And then and Brad Pitt's character, like when the gangsters show up to his house and he's all stoned and he's like, oh yeah, they went that way. And it's really funny the way he delivers it.
Oh, man, you want to smoke? Okay, never mind.
He tells his roommate, get some cleaning products out of like nowhere, and it's like, what? And this is one of Brad Pitt's, one of his earlier roles. Cause I don't think at this point he was a huge star.
No, this is like the beginning of his career.
Yeah.
This is like pre-7. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he had maybe done California at this point, which was like the killer movie. And then he did a couple of small things.
Yeah. And I think 7 came out in 95, 96.
It's 95-ish or 96. Yeah. Yeah, so that's when he started getting a little bit bigger. But it's kind of cool to see him in an early role and everything. And but overall, though, man, I just I often wonder what this movie would have been like if Tarantino had directed it, you know, himself. But I still think it turned out pretty darn good with Tony Scott directing it. Tony Scott was a great action director. You know, he made some really great action films. And I miss him watching
Crimson
this movie.
Tide is my favorite.
Oh yeah, Crimson Tide is great.
Yeah.
I miss Tony Scott. When I go back and watch one of his movies, I often think like, man, what, you know, like if he had been here to do Top Gun Maverick and some of the other things that he might have done, you know, and it's disappointing that he's not with us anymore. But we still have his films to enjoy. And for me, True Romance is one of those that's right up there with one of his best movies. I like it a lot. And you know, and I think it's one of those movies long that you might have watched 20 years ago. You might have looked at it a little bit differently probably. You know,
yeah.
When it came out at that time, I already knew Matt would probably like this movie because I know Matt likes kind of ape shit, kind of crazy movies and stuff where all kinds of stuff goes on. And, you know, and I had a feeling it might make a little more impression on him. You know, longer, harder to impress.
Yeah, I am a little bit.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A B.
Yeah,
man. I was going to say B or B plus. I'm with Long. I felt like for it to be an A, I think Tarantino needs to direct it. And then it would be closer to Tarantino's vision. But I think this is like the closest you're going to get. And I was still entertained, but I would say, you know, maybe B plus. I'm probably a little bit leaning more towards the B plus side. Just because of that Walken and Hopper scene. I mean, that was just really, really good. And the action's good, too.
Yeah.
B plus.
I'm gonna give,
B minus.
I'm going to give a little bit higher than y'all. I'm going to give it an A minus just because I like it a little bit more. And it's just one of the movies I really enjoyed watching it again this week. It'd been a while since I had seen it. I probably hadn't watched it since I initially bought it on Blu-ray. And so I enjoyed watching it again. Just forgot how enjoyable the film is for me. And just a lot of fun, man. I think it's one of those movies that I think you guys would agree that the actors look like they're having a good fucking time making this movie. You know? And I like it when I watch movies like that where you can tell, like, no one mails it in. You can tell everyone had a really good time making this film.
And I agree.
So,
and I think, man, Tom Sizemore. I used to get him mixed up with Michael Madsen.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and Madsen was almost in this movie. He was going to play he was one of the first picks for Virgil before it went to Gandolfini. So, yeah. Which isn't uncommon. Tarantino always has his guys he goes to for films and stuff, and you know, so it's not uncommon for him to have some of the same actors. Uma Thurman almost played Alabama in this movie, but then of course he brought her back a few years later and had her play the bride. So, you know, but I don't know. On a Christian Slater level, long though, did Slater do all right for you in this movie?
I think he peaked for me when he did that cameo in Star Trek VI. When he woke up Captain Sulu from his sleep. That's Christian Slater peak for me.
Damn,
that's just, like, oh cool, he was in Star Trek cameo. That's awesome.
That's just harsh.
But, yeah.
Poor Christian Slater. Man.
No.
You ever seen you ever seen his skating movie Gleaming the Cube?
I didn't know he did a skating
movie. Yeah, I can't remember if it's on, it might be streaming on Amazon Prime or something. But it's really good. It's like he has an adopted Asian brother who gets killed, and as a skateboarder, he goes and tries to find out who killed his brother. And it's actually a pretty good movie. And it came out during the whole BMX skateboarding movie craze in the late 80s, early 90s, you know. So it's a pretty good movie. But it's called Gleaming the Cube, kind of an underrated Christian Slater film. I forgot about that one, but I'll give him credit. Gleaming the Cube is a pretty good movie. So Star Trek cameo, fucking shit. So. Poor guy. Well, let's get into our top five then for the week, as we chose to do top five action movie couples. I guess that's
I'll
how we're
start off titling it. My idea. Yeah.
And, all right then.
What was it? Top five movies with couples,
or action movie couples, or whatever? I don't know. Yeah. We never really defined an official title for it. Top five action movie couples. I guess that's what we'll call it.
All right. So I'll start off first with my number five. And Mark, you'll be proud of me. I have no ties at all in this list. So starting off with number five, it's going to be a comedy. Going to be Pineapple Express. And it's basically a freaking bromance movie between Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen and what's his face? I can't remember his name all of a sudden.
James Franco.
Yeah, James Franco. I thought it was a funny movie, and the action scene towards the end was pretty good. Danny McBride getting shot to death and still living somehow after getting all those bullet wounds.
I'm not going to say anything. I'll be nice.
It's such a bromance.
That's why I
hated movie.
That movie, was the last 15 minutes of the movie.
I liked it. I loved it. So,
That's just
that's my number five. Go ahead, Mark. What's your number five?
Oh, I'm going second today. My number five is James Bond and Vespa in Casino Royale. It's one of the best Bond relationships in any of his films, and I've seen almost all the Bond films, and I really like the way they started Daniel Craig's career out as Bond with making him more human and giving him someone that he cared about. And when he loses Vespa at the end of the movie, it's heartbreaking. And I just thought that they did a great job with those two characters in Casino Royale.
I have the same thing.
Fucking copy. You looked at my list through my camera, didn't you?
No, I feel the same way. I think that his relationship with her in the movie is genuine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Wrong number four.
Number four, Thelma and Louise.
Nice.
So I figured number five, it went both male bromance. So I figured number four would be a good female cis man.
You know, I only saw that movie one time.
Yeah, Thelma and Louise. This is Sarandon and what's it? Gina Davis, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Brad Pitt's in this movie too, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Small part though, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah.
Been a while since I've seen it.
With the iconic ending at the end of them holding hands before they drive off the cliff together,
which was awesomely spoofed in Wayne's World 2, I think, or one. One of them.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's my number four, Thelma and Louise.
My number four is arguably going to be, even though it was kind of cheesy during Revolutions whenever she dies and stuff, but I had to go with Neo and Trinity. Because without those two characters, the Matrix films don't work as well. Even if the act, like I said, that I know we talked a few weeks ago about how Revolutions is better than people think it is, and you're right, it is not a terrible movie. But when Trinity dies, God, the acting is pretty bad. It's almost like, could we have done a couple more takes of this? But other than that, Neo and Trinity make a good action couple,
that's the second time, by the way.
Kind of looking forward to seeing Matrix 4. You know, I hope it's good, man. It's one of those movies that I'm afraid it's going to have so much hype behind it that it's going to maybe let us down, but I'm also holding out hope that it's going to be good.
For number four, I went with a comedic pick. I've got Austin Powers and Vanessa Kensington from the first Austin Powers, because, you know, who doesn't like Elizabeth Hurley?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
All right. I'm going to get some hate for my number three, but I'm just going to go with Rise of Skywalker with the whole Raylo couple.
Oh yeah, there. The Raylo.
Yeah. I mean, it's the crux of the movie. I mean, Ray was the one who redeemed Ben Skywalker.
Yeah.
And towards the end, they teamed up and did what they had to do to close out the trilogy. So, yeah, my number three is Rise of Skywalker.
Nice.
Best movie couple. They hated each other too from the first movie, and then they progressively got better and better. I mean, well, closer and closer. Last Jedi, and then Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, right after he showed her his, that he was Ben Solo.
Ben Solo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my number three couple. Go ahead, Mark. What's your number three?
My number three is Batman and Catwoman. I know they've only appeared on screen a couple of times, but their dynamic they have with each other is one of the more interesting hero-villain relationships, whether it be in comic books or in movies. So I think Batman and Catwoman, especially Michelle Pfeiffer and Michael Keaton, a lot of sexual tension going on with them there, and a lot of one-upsmanship between Anne Hathaway's Catwoman and Christian Bale's Batman in The Dark Knight Rises. I always wanted to see Catwoman's one of those characters that, you know, I wouldn't mind if they keep bringing her back on screen and have her interact with Batman. And, well, we are getting Catwoman in the new Batman film, being played by Zoe Kravitz. So we'll see how she does with the role.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. I think she's going to be really good.
For my number three, I also have Neo and Trinity in my list. And I just think it was, especially the first one, you know, there's the, you know, she's supposed to fall in love with the one, and you think Neo's dead, and she's like, you can't be dead. And then he comes back to life, and, you know, boom, we get that awesome ending. So I think, you know, it deserves to be high on the list. Neo, Trinity.
Hmm.
Yep.
Not bad. I'm going to go with my number two. My number two is actually Wonder Woman. Steve Trevor and Diana. It's really the crux, the heart of the movie. And basically Steve Trevor tries to show what the world is like during the time of World War I.
Yeah.
And just showing all of the... how society works, and they end up falling in love together. And I like how, even though Wonder Woman is a superhero with super strength, she doesn't ever diminish Steve Trevor's role in the movie at all. Yeah. I mean, even though he doesn't have any superpowers, he's still treated as a equal, a partner, you know, a fellow war mate and all that, you know, a fellow warrior.
It's and, a good observation.
Yeah. And you really believe in their romance, and you believe that they really care for each other. And but yeah, that's my number two, Wonder Woman with Steve Trevor.
My number two is Indiana Jones and Marion Ravenwood. I mean,
one and four, right?
Well, yeah, and originally they wanted her back for three, but it didn't work out. That's, you know, that's, a lot of people don't know that's why it took them almost 5 years between Temple of Doom and Last Crusade to get it made. They were trying to work on the script, and they wanted her back because she didn't want to do it. So I think she was raising a family at the time, and so, but that's a whole other story. So we only got one movie with Indy and Marion in the original trilogy before the number four, but. Indy cares for her. She cares for him. They have this love-hate relationship. They make the movie work so much. I didn't mention that. I did watch Raiders of the Lost Ark on my birthday last week because, you know, we recorded Friday night. And almost always every year watch Raiders of the Lost Ark on my birthday at 5 times because it's one of my favorite movies. And, you know, and just their relationship is so good. When Indy thinks he's lost her, you know, he's sad, he's beat up about it. And then he continually tries to save her throughout the movie. And the good thing about, I think Spielberg did a great job in those movies, is that she's not just a damsel in distress. You know, she's tough and she can hold her own. And I've always liked the relationship of Indy and Marion.
Cool.
Yeah. My number two is Kyle Reese and Sarah Connor. I think that Kyle Reese elevates Sarah, teaches her how it is to be a soldier and not be afraid and how to fight. And that's why we got the Sarah Connor number two.
You know what? Carl and Santa Connor? Carl and Sarah Connor from Dark Fate?
No.
No Carl?
No, no Carl. Fuck with you, Matt. she hated him. No, Kyle and Sarah. I'm like, you threw me off for a second. I was like, wait, what? Carl? And I'm like, but yeah. On your feet, soldier. You know, and all that.
Well, my number one, drum roll. My number one is actually going to be True Lies, Harry and his wife. That's my number one. It's a great action comedy couple. I mean, the first quarter of the movie was about Harry, Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, but it takes a turn. The movie takes a turn for a direction I didn't expect, where it's going to be about him spying on his own wife and seeing what she's doing.
Yes.
And it all comes together towards the end of the movie, and that scene where you know, she was held hostage, and then the bridge scene near Key West, Florida. Iconic.
Bill Paxton's awesome, man.
Yeah, Bill Paxton was awesome. Yeah.
Titties want to make you beg for buttermilk. Ass like a 10-year-old boy.
Thank you, Matt.
You're all
holding that.
You're all. That's what I'm here for.
I prefer the part where Arnold punches him in the face.
Yes.
In the dream sequence. So that's a better reaction there. But anyways, that's the funniest reaction ever, too. Like, he's talking. Bill Paxton's character's bragging about his wife being so gullible, and then he's laughing. Oh, ha, 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 I have a wrapped around my finger. And then he punches him in the face, kills him. And then the camera zooms back out, and it's just all in his head the whole time. The first time I've ever seen that used in the movie ever. I just laughed so hard. And, great movie, True Lies.
Yes.
And what's your number one, Mark?
One of them, actually, not surprised y'all didn't put number one, but I'm still surprised nobody put them on their list, is the obvious one, fucking Han Solo and Princess Leia. You know, I mean, one of the greatest science fiction action movie couples of all time. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I love you. I know. I mean, iconic, you know. I'm shocked neither one of y'all at least have that somewhere in y'all's top five.
Is it better than kissing her brother, though?
Yeah. Now you're just making it weird. You know.
I figured Sigourney Weaver's character and Rick Moranis, you know, the game master, were a great couple.
Yeah, honorable mention. Gozer.
Yeah, so, but Han...
Gozer's
great. Han Solo and Princess Leia, man. Most famous science fiction couple of all time.
I agree with that.
I will agree with that. Most famous science fiction couple.
What's your number one, Matt? Don't disappoint us.
I also have Harry and Ellen Tasker as
number one. Oh, look at that. Great minds think alike. Look at that.
Yes. I predicted
I'd slow down the great minds part there.
I predicted that. I told Long when you walked away earlier before the show that there's one movie that I thought was going to be on all three of our lists, and I thought it was going to be Trinity and Matrix and Trinity and Neo. I thought that was going to be on all of our lists, especially since Long mentioned Keanu Reeves last week.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I'll
be honest, when it comes to True Lies, like, I've only seen it like once or twice. Out of all the James Cameron films, I think I've seen it the least. And I think part of it is because it's not easily accessible. You know, it was put out on DVD, but you can't even find copies of it anymore. It's never been put out on Blu-ray. I don't even know
I have two copies on DVD.
I don't even know if it's available streaming anywhere or not. You know, I know it's never been put out streaming. So I think that's part of it. It's just not as accessible to watch as some of the other camera films. There is a Blu-ray bootleg company that I bought my holiday special Blu-ray from, and they actually have True Lies on there taken from the Japanese release HD Master. I've been tempted. It's only $18. I've kind of been tempted to buy it and see if, you know, just to have a HD copy of True Lies, since you can't really get one. And
that would be cool.
It doesn't seem like Cameron is interested in doing it anytime soon. So, since he's busy making 500 Avatar movies. So,
yeah.
But,
underwater.
Yes, underwater. So, but anyway. Cool, cool, cool with the top five movies there that week or this week. So,
yeah.
Let's do some news then. You know, not a whole lot, just a little bit of news. So Jim Lee, there's been a lot going on in DC Comics this week. I'm sure you guys read about a lot of layoffs. No more DC Direct. They're not going to make toys anymore. They're going to have companies make their toys for them. With that, Jim Lee gave a statement about what was going on with the company and something that affects what we talk about stuff is streaming services. DC University did kind of announce that it's not going to go away completely. But basically, DC Universe is going to exist as only a comic book reader soon. And all the shows are going to be moving over to HBO Max, as we already expected. But from what I read, because what I was reading was that they found that more people were using DC Universe to read the comics anyways. So they're like, you know, let's at least leave that up there. I guess it's going to cost the same price for people that want to read their comics. And, man, there is a hell of a library of comics on DC Universe. So... people that are big fans can still get all their digital comics on the DC Universe app. But by the end of summer, it looks like all the shows will be moving over to HBO Max. So we kind of saw that coming, though. So not really a surprise. So you can watch.
Yeah, it's sad.
Watch Titans.
All folks losing their jobs.
Yeah, been crazy. And
freaking thanks, COVID-19. Yeah. Thanks.
And DC canceled like 15 books, but they said they're not doing away with print comics. They're just canceling some books that aren't selling. So. Just making some changes. Next, normally at Comic-Con, I'm going to stick with DC for a minute. You know, DC usually announces their next animated films they're doing for the DC Universe. But because they're going to do their DC Dome, that's this weekend, I believe, where I guess we'll get more announcements. But they did announce one. It's called Batman Soul of the Dragon. And it's going to take place in the 1970s. And it's being done by Bruce Timm, who did the Batman the Animated Series. So it sounds kind of cool. A 1970s Batman style adventure. It's going to be the next DC Universe animated movie after Superman Man of Tomorrow comes out here in a few weeks. So another Batman film to look forward to. DC Universe animated stuff has been really good lately. So hopefully they continue that trend of making good, solid animated films. And We're also going, we're getting a new, I mentioned the Star Wars Holiday Special bootleg. We're getting a new Star Wars Holiday Special in Lego form. And it's going to be on Disney Plus this Christmas, where it takes place after the Rise of Skywalker. And it's going to be a Christmas Carol type story where, I guess Rey is going to see how the universe would be if people did not have her. So,
really?
Yeah, I guess so. It sounds kind of, you know, if you've ever watched any of those Lego specials, they're actually very creative and very well done. Hopefully this continues the trend and, Disney and Lego have some fun with it as we get a new Star Wars Holiday Special in Lego form that certainly is going to be better than the original.
Yeah, I do have some bad news on the home entertainment front. The past year or so, the 20th Century Fox side of things, they were, we all know that they'd have a name change earlier this week to 20th TV.
Something like that, 20th Television or 20th TV.
20th Television. Yeah. But, you know, that's a stupid bit of news. But the real news I wanted to get to was that they were actually, the past year or two, they've been in the process of converting a lot of their their movie library to 4K transfers, which includes Abyss and True Lies. And fucking Disney canceled the 4K transfer process.
Yeah, but then there was another report where Disney came out and said that's not entirely true. They're still going to try to get their vault titles that aren't out available to people. What they're going to cancel is, you're not going to see any more re-releases of Aladdin or re-releases of Lion King that have already been out. But they still do want to at least get their vault copies out to people that haven't been made yet.
Well, no, that's Disney shit. I'm talking about Fox.
Well, I know, but Disney Fox owns all that. It was part of the same report.
But they were...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The Fox titles like True Lies and The Abyss, which I've been waiting for a freaking long time for an HD transfer. I miss watching that movie so much. You know,
well, The Abyss, we even was supposed to have a release date of this year, and so nothing official. Because apparently Cameron already did the HD master of The Abyss before he started on Avatar 2. So apparently it's done and ready to go. So,
And True Lies, I want to watch that movie again. I miss watching that movie, you know? So, anyways, that's my contribution.
Yeah. Lastly, I kind of missed this last week. It was kind of last week's news, but we're going to finally get a third Tron movie, and it's going to star Jared Leto. I'm not sure why Garrett Hedlund's not coming back. I thought he did fine as Flynn's son, but we've got Jared Leto in this movie. Maybe Hedlund will still come back. And he kind of maybe accidentally dropped the title of Tron Ares. Ares is how you say it. But I legitimately like the Tron universe. You know, we covered Tron, the original, in the show. So I'm down for more movies in that universe. I think it's a really, really cool universe. So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That's how people used to pronounce my last name.
What?
Tron?
Even though Tron. It's spelled T-R-A-N.
So. Dude, I'm going to call you Long Tron now from now on.
Oh, okay.
But definitely a cool series of movies. So I really liked the modern version with Tron Legacy and the new technology they had to make that movie look cool as shit, even if what didn't turn out that great. So I'm definitely down for a third Tron film.
Yeah,
should be cool.
Yeah,
but that's all the news I got. So it was kind of a slower news week.
Starring Flynn,
huh?
Huh? A movie named Tron, but it's about Flynn.
Yeah. Essentially, right. It's funny you said that. I don't know if I might have mentioned it when we covered it on the show, but I was a kid, that always bothered me. Like, why is this movie called Tron? The whole movie's about this guy named Flynn. That did bother me when I was a kid. Yeah. So it took me a long time to grow up and realize what it was ultimately about. But, you know, but anyway.
Yeah. The pattern continues in part two.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm disappointed that Tron didn't make much of an impact in the second movie.
No, he shows up at the end of the movie, basically. That's about it. And you never even see his face, but yet they use Bruce Boxleitner's voice, at least.
At least they do that.
It was kind of weird. So, who knows? Well, let's preview next week's film. We're going to get away from the crazy action films we've done the last couple of weeks and do something a little bit more fun, a little bit more down to earth, kind of a modern classic already. This movie has kind of garnered a cult following pretty quickly, especially amongst, you know, it's a big popular millennial movie. It had a very popular independent comic book that it was based on. And that is Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Hey, what's up?
I'll leave you alone forever now.
You know this one girl with hair like this?
Yes, that's Ramona Flowers.
She's out of your league.
You know her? Tell me now.
She just moved here. Got a job at Amazon.
I have to order something really cool.
Scott, are you waiting for the package you just ordered?
Maybe. Scott Pilgrim? Hi, I was thinking about asking you out, but then I realized how stupid that would be.
That's okay. You just need to sign for this, all right?
So do you want to go out sometime?
I say yes, will you sign for your damn package?
So yeah, 8 o'clock? Come to this Battle of the Bands thing.
You have a band?
Yeah, we're terrible.
One, two, three, four! Mr. Pilgrim! I'm Ramona's first evil ex-boyfriend.
What?
Wait, we're fighting over Ramona?
Didn't you get my email explaining the situation?
I skimmed it.
Mm-mm.
What was that all about?
If we're gonna date, you may have to defeat my 7 evil exes.
So what you're saying is we are dating?
I guess.
Does that mean we can make out?
Sure.
Scott Pilgrim!
Prepare to feel the wrath of the League of Evil Exes.
Ramona dated twins.
At the same time?
If you want something bad, you have to fight for it. Step up your game, Scott.
Combo!
Break out the L word.
Lesbian?
The other L word.
Lesbians?
What are you doing?
Getting a life.
You want to fight me
for her?
Why on earth would you want to do that?
Because I'm in love with her.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Maybe next time we don't date the girl with 11 evil ex-boyfriends.
7.
Oh, that's not that bad.
It's celebrating. It's 10 years old already. And a friend of the show, Francisco, I know he's a big fan of this movie. And I think he's mentioned before that we should do this. So, you know, we want to cater to our fans of the show and do stuff they enjoy, too. And Scott Pilgrim is legitimately a pretty fun movie. It's a very enjoyable. I remember the first time I saw it, I wasn't sure what I was watching. And then once I got into the movie, I'm like, man, this is actually pretty good. It's probably the only movie that I can really stand Michael Cerna in. I always found him kind of annoying. But he's really good as Scott Pilgrim, you know. And it's on Netflix right now, so people can watch along with us.
Michael Cera.
Cera. Yeah. Like, he was okay in Superbad. Superbad and this, I could deal with him. But other movies, he always found him kind of like, eh, you know. And But it's got my other girlfriend in this movie, Mary Elizabeth Winstead. She's really good at it, too, as Ramona Flowers. So it should be a fun movie to watch and talk about and do a little something different next week. We haven't done a comic book movie in a while, and it is based on a comic book. So there you go. Yeah.
There you go.
And I know you guys have seen Scott Pilgrim, right?
Yeah,
one,
a couple times.
At least y'all saw it.
It's got Chris Evans.
Well, you know, we back to back weeks of movies y'all hadn't seen. So, you know, just didn't know if we were going for the trifecta there. So that's next week's show. And as always, go to therubberreelpodcast.com. And follow us on our social media and join our Patreon for just $2 a month. The August movie is going to be Double Dragon. Yes, we are going to put ourselves through the misery of watching that and talking about it. And
I'll be there in spirit.
In spirit. And so we're going to.
Oh, what's worse, Street Fighter 2 or Double Dragon?
Yeah, we're going to get.
Or Street Fighter the movie?
I don't know. That was pretty hard to watch, too.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation was one of the worst movies I've ever watched.
Yeah, that might be worse than all both. That might be worse than even Double Dragon and Street Fighter. Yeah,
maybe so.
Yeah, I could agree with that. So that'll be our Patreon for this month is Double Dragon. Look for that at the tail end of next week. It should be out if you're a Patreon member. So that's all we got. So until next week, stay safe, enjoy your week, and we'll see you next week talking Scott Pilgrim. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the Hitman.
Sure. Long Tron.
Oh, no. I'll de-res you for saying that.
And thanks for listening. As always, remember, just go there and do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Hey, you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. My name is Sean Patrick Flannery, and I hope you dig the podcast.